Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dr. Ken Croswell, writing most recently at Science News about the stars in our beautiful galaxy and distinctions made between a red dwarf and a brown dwarf. Ken is the author of The Lives of Stars and the Alchemy of Heavens, so I follow his lead when we come to this very particular language about stars. We have a beautiful star. It is main sequence, Ken teaches me. But not all stars are main sequence. And the most popular, that is to say, the most numerous star in the galaxy is a dwarf, a red dwarf. Ken, a very good evening to you. What does it mean when you call a star a dwarf? A red dwarf, a brown dwarf, a yellow dwarf, a blue dwarf? What does dwarf mean? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Unfortunately, this term is not terribly well used by astronomers, in my opinion. For most stars, though not all, the term dwarf means that the star is engaged in nuclear reactions that convert hydrogen into helium at its core. It is a main sequence star. That's the case for the sun. That's the case for these red dwarfs that we are going to be talking about. It is, however, not the case for the brown dwarfs that we're going to be talking about, nor is it the case for white dwarfs, which are a whole other type of star that hopefully we're not going to be talking about, because we've already got two types of stars here to worry about, and that's the red dwarfs and the brown dwarfs. The red dwarfs are main sequence stars. They are converting hydrogen into helium at their cores, just as the sun does. And they're much fainter and smaller and cooler than the sun because they were born with less mass, considerably less mass than the sun, somewhere between 7% of a solar mass and 60% of a solar mass. So they shine very dimly, they burn their fuel very frugally, and some of them are going to live more than a trillion years, okay? That's older than the age of the universe. The universe is 13.8 billion years old. Some of these red dwarfs, the smallest of them, the least massive of them, will live for over a trillion years. So these are very, very long-lived objects, and they're very common. Most stars in the Milky Way are red dwarf stars, the very nearest star to the sun. Proxima Centauri, located just over 4 light years away, is a red dwarf.
The brown dwarfs, then. Now we come into the distinction made between the brown dwarfs and the red dwarfs. Is a brown dwarf also dim, and what does it burn?
Brown dwarfs are also dim, yes. They're also small. When young, they do shine in a red color, so you can see them if you have a good enough telescope with your eye. They are emitting visible light. The light, though, is coming from the glow of its birth, the heat of its birth. In fact, by the way, the sun, a lot of people don't know this, but the sun, for many millions of years, it was shining quite brightly, not because of nuclear reactions, but simply because gravity was squeezing the sun, squeezing its gas, causing the gas to heat up, and it's a law of physics. Anything that's hot emits visible light. So if you had visited the sun when it was 10 million years old, you would have seen it shining brightly, but that brightness came not from nuclear reactions, but simply from the heat of the sun's birth. And likewise, brown dwarfs, which are much dimmer than the sun, they, when they're young, they shine and they emit visible light. And then what's different about the brown dwarfs is their nuclear reactions, they do have some nuclear reactions going on, but those nuclear reactions fizzle out because they were born with too little mass. They were born with less than 7% of a solar mass. So unlike the red dwarfs, some of which will live for over a trillion years, the brown dwarfs, they fade out. And in fact, it was only, and as you might imagine, it's not easy to detect such stars, and we only detected the first of them in 1995. So you know, when you were a kid, people didn't know about brown dwarfs.
Are there many brown dwarfs like red dwarfs? Are they commonplace?
Brown dwarfs are also very common. In fact, within just 8 light years of the sun, there are 3 brown dwarfs that we know about. They're not as common as red dwarfs, but they're still very common. So, yes, both red dwarf and brown dwarfs are common.
You have taught me that red dwarfs have planetary systems and that heretofore it was thought those planetary systems could not sustain life. Now that opinion is no longer holding sway. Do brown dwarfs have planetary systems?
Oh, I have no doubt that brown dwarfs have planets, yes. They are thought, in most cases, to form the same way that ordinary stars do. And presumably they're going to have disks of gas and dust going around them. So there's no reason your sun could not be a brown dwarf, except, of course, it would be a very dim sun.
Right. But back to red dwarfs. The presumption now is with planetary systems, they have a habitable zone, which is much closer to the star. Is that true for brown dwarfs as well? Do they have a habitable zone, no matter how dim they are?
Well, the problem with a brown dwarf is, unlike with a red dwarf, which, you know, the red dwarf reaches the main sequence and then it achieves stability, and its light is going to be fairly stable, as the sun's is. The problem with a brown dwarf, though, is because these objects are not able to sustain nuclear reactions, they fade away. And so let's suppose you were sufficiently close to a brown dwarf when young so that you were in the brown dwarf's habitable zone. Over time, over many tens of millions of years or hundreds of millions of years, your sun would fade, and so you'd have to keep getting closer and closer to the brown dwarf in order to keep warm. So it would be more of a challenge to survive around a brown dwarf than around a red dwarf. Of course, if life were to evolve almost immediately upon the formation of a planet around a brown dwarf, then in principle that life could sustain itself for many millions of years.
Now to the new study that you write in Science, you write up in Science News. This is from astrophysicist Dino Hsu and Adam Burgasser at the University of California, San Diego.
Yes, here's what they did. When a star is born, it revolves around the Milky Way center in a fairly circular orbit. Over time, though, there are gravitational tugs from giant clouds of gas, spiral arms, even other stars, and they toss the stars to and fro. So over time, these perturbations cause the orbits of the stars to become more and more elliptical. And if you look at the velocities of stars, you can see that the older stars, having been jostled around more, have greater spreads of velocity than the younger stars. And so what these astronomers did was they looked for a breakpoint in seeing, okay, is there a place where we can discern where the orbital shapes change or the velocities change? And sure enough, there is. And that change occurs at a surface temperature of 1,500 to 1,700 Kelvin, which is 2240 to 2600 Fahrenheit, or about a quarter of the sun's temperature. The sun is about 5800 Kelvin or 9940 Fahrenheit. Below that crucial temperature of 1500 to 1700 Fahrenheit, all the objects are brown dwarfs. But above that temperature, you've got a mix of red dwarfs, which are long-lived, and young brown dwarfs. So in other words, if you want a pure sample, let's suppose you're an astronomer who wants to study brown dwarfs, or let's say you're a starship captain who wants to visit a brown dwarf tonight, you'll want to aim your starship for an object that is cooler than 1,500 Kelvin.
Ken, the brown dwarfs that you say are commonplace, are they stars?
Ah, that question, believe it or not, is a Pluto-type question, just as different astronomers have different opinions as to whether Pluto is a planet, different astronomers have different opinions as to whether brown dwarfs are stars or not. The argument for brown dwarfs being a star are as follows. First, like stars, like the sun, they do, for a time, for quite a long time, they do emit visible light. They are a self-luminous object, and it's thought that most of them form the same way that ordinary stars do. The argument against calling brown dwarf stars is that unlike red dwarfs and unlike the sun, their nuclear reactions fizzle out after the stars are born. So different astronomers will give you different answers to that question.
Final detail. The way the brown dwarfs and red dwarfs go around the galaxy matters because one is circular, one is elliptical. Have I read that correctly? We have about a minute.
Well, the younger ones, younger stars of all types, red dwarfs, brown dwarfs, yellow main sequence stars, are going to be on circular orbits around the Milky Way. And the older ones will generally be on fairly elliptical orbits around the Milky Way. And so by looking at a group of stars and looking at their orbits, you can deduce their approximate age. And that's essentially what these astronomers have done in this new study, discerning red dwarfs from the brown dwarfs.
Dr. Ken Croswell, The Lives of Stars and the Alchemy of the Heavens are some of his publications, writing at Science News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.